Good to be back once again this month. 2 months in a row, that's a good thing, and I greatly enjoy coming home. Beg an interest in your prayers, and that's not just vain repetition. When Brother Sonny called me this morning, I was hauling a bull to a neighbor who we've had on loan, not on purpose, for 3 months. You worry that you get your mind right before you get in the stand. Because it's no light matter to preach the gospel. And been very busy. But you catch yourself just glimpses of saying things in your head that you shouldn't. I know I'm working cattle this morning, but I'll just go out, kind of like Samson said. I'll just go out like in times past. Well, it didn't work out so good for Samson. So I'm thankful that I trust the Lord has gotten me where I need to be. I feel more spiritual. Brother Danny Wisner, talking to him a month or two ago, he said, isn't it amazing how our forefathers thought to think up how to organize our service? Because, we're in the Bible, in New Testament, we believe we are to sing, pray, and preach. But we don't have an order like you do it in this order. So it was, I guess, up to our discretion. And for years, as far back as history records, I would say, they sang. They would gather and sing, and then pray, and then preach. And he was talking about, Brother Danny says, you ever had those mornings when you just didn't feel like being there? When you didn't feel like going to church? He says, but then you get in there and you start singing. Ephesians 5 says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing to yourselves in songs, hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart. And Brother Danny brought that up and says, have you ever had that? I said, Brother Danny, all the time. All the time. And this morning, the song service was blessed, but particularly whenever I, a song that particularly got to me this morning was Grace 'Tis a Charming Sound. Had a verse, I've been in a section of scripture recently that, just one of those verses that gets in your head. Maybe you're walking around, and I was thinking of this verse, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Well, I went to look into that, and it took me a good 3 weeks to get there in preaching. Because it's like, well, I'm going to go back a little ways to try to get it in context. And then I said, well, this is just wonderful here. And so that's in the fifth chapter of Romans. At the end of it, the law entered, the offense might abound. And I started all the way in the fourth chapter talking about Abraham, who staggered not at the promises of God. And it took me that long. And so this morning I thought, somewhere in there, that's where I am this morning. But whenever that grace, 'tis a charming sound, that kind of got my thoughts going again about grace and this verse. And now I've got to figure out where I want to start, because like I said, I could start all the way over in the fourth chapter. Because this is all wonderful, but I'll start in the 12th verse of the 5th chapter. Wherefore, as by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. I tell you, this is maybe the best. It's one of the best places to go to get the doctrine of representation and to get the doctrine of original sin and total depravity. Because Cain and Abel, while they did, Cain did horrible thing, he did not transgress the law of God that was given to Adam. He killed his brother, but he didn't transgress the law of God that was given to Adam. Now, anyway, I don't think Cain, child of God, but that's, I'm not, I'll, if you want to believe it, whatever. That's nothing I'm going to stand too firm on. But that's just my personal opinion. But you look at all that, all the way from Adam to Moses. It says death reigned. Even though at this point one law was given. Of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death reigned. I remember I tried to speak on this, I believe, when I was exercising here. I know, I'm going to tell the story again, Jackson. And I guess, how old am I now? That was probably around 5 years ago, so Jackson was seven or so. I guess, thank you, Jackson. I went outside. I was in between the buildings here, and it started sprinkling, and Jackson ran up behind me and got under my coat and said, "Save me from this death rain." I said, "What? See, you said death rained from Adam to Moses." I'll never forget that. You never know what those kids are going to say, but that's not what it meant. It means that death reigned as a king reigns. It had a hold of the people, and it still does. And none of us have committed the sin that Adam committed. But have we transgressed God's law? Yes. One of my favorite songs, "A Sinner by Nature and a Sinner by Practice." I tell you, we inherit this sinful nature. And it says death reigned, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. But I like this. We're going to start turning it around. Who was the figure? Who is the figure of him that was to come? But not as the offense, so also it is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. I'm going to read a little while, I guess. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. What do people say when you tell them that? That's not fair. That's not fair. You can look in Romans 9, where we have a beautiful picture of election, 9 and 11, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. For as it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And what is the next verse? Is there unrighteousness with God? That's not a new argument. Paul addressed that argument in Scripture. God forbid is the answer. And here, it doesn't seem, I mean, I'm in my nature, I'm like, that it, I don't, what Adam did, I don't like being held responsible. I affirm it every day. But we don't cry unfair with what's coming up, do we? Oh no, we thank our God. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The free gift. Even so by the righteousness of one. It's not our righteousness. Our righteousness were, as it were, filthy rags. But one came into the world. The one whom Adam was a figure of. The second man, Adam. Jesus. And then it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Then it says, verse 20, moreover, the law enters. So why is the law here? Why is the law? Why did they need the law? For by, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. You know, the law was a blessing. These people were sinners. And how the law, you know, it seemed so, I can't think of a better word than mean, but strict, thank you. But it showed these people, and it was pointing to a day. We can go to Galatians here in chapter 3. It says, verse 21, is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. I tried to preach on that little saying a while back, long time, a couple years ago. God forbid. I like that. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were, I believe that's the word of faith. We were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. In verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now that's how I started. You know, whenever I told you, whenever I wanted to get to this verse, and I started all the way over in the fourth chapter. Why? Because of context. And that chapter 5 starts out of Romans, starts out saying, therefore being justified by faith. And then I was like, well, we got to go a little further back. And then we go into Abraham, who was here against hope, believed in hope. And I guess I'm going to do it again. Go back. And it says, he was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And then it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I tell you, I believe here we can, we always talk about Hebrews 11 to go for definitions of faith. And of course, but look here, I believe we have some good definitions of faith here. Being strong in faith, staggered, when we're strong in faith, being strong in faith is not staggering at the promises of God. Being strong in faith is giving glory to God. And here, I believe, is one of the best definitions of faith. Here it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I tell you, that's faith right there. That's strong in faith. Every time I get on this subject of faith, I got to think on the Hebrew children. I tell you, because they were there in Daniel, I believe, chapter 3. You think they were strong in faith? You think they staggered not at the promises of God? Because when the king says, I'll give you one more chance, when you hear the music to bow down, they says, O king, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. But if it be so, our God is able to deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And he will deliver us. Our God is able to deliver us in the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from thy hand, O king. I tell you, what's that belief right there? A little further down, it's going to tell us to glory in tribulations in the 5th chapter. Glory in tribulations. You think being sentenced to death in a fiery furnace might be a tribulation? I reckon so. But where was their glory? I tell you, they gloried in the one who could save them out of that. No, I don't believe that saying glory in the actual... In the tribulation itself, but I tell you, it tells us, I can't remember in the Old Testament, I looked it up the other day, but it says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Don't glory in your own might, in your wisdom and all this. Well, I tell you, don't glory in your tribulation. People sometimes hold that as a badge of honor. No, I think this is telling us to glory in the Lord in these tribulations. He's the one. He's the one that will lead us through those tribulations. And that's what these Hebrew children were doing, was it not? They were glorying in the Lord. He is able. Oh, I love that. You know what? Remember the man who had the sick child, and the Lord says, if thou would only believe, thou can do all things. And he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Well, if you got to believe to go to heaven, where on that scale do you have to be? No, I tell you, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Lord, I believe, help thou my... I don't know where those Hebrew children was on that. I reckon they were pretty good that day. Because I'm thinking, you really... Have you ever seen anyone saved out of fire before? But I tell you, they had promises of God. I don't know where they came from. I don't know where they got them from. It doesn't tell us of experiences before or in their lives, but they had them from somewhere. And they believed, oh, that God was able. Our God is able. And then they said, but if it come life, come death, we will be delivered out of thy hand. I tell you, that's what I think of whenever we discuss those in our lives that are sick. Those that we love, maybe with that cursed disease of cancer. And what is our prayer? Our prayer is that they be healed. Nevertheless, they will be delivered. They will be delivered. Faith. Being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Then it said, I don't know if I'll ever get back to where I was started, and that might be best. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. That means we should listen. you should listen to all the Bible, but here it's like, this is for you. Not written for his sake alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we believe. There is an if we believe. And it says it will be imputed to him. That's counted. That's not actual receiving, but it's kind of knowing you got it. Now, Abraham This was talking about him whenever the Lord told him they were going to have children. He didn't consider his own body, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was 90, she was 100, or vice versa. I'm trying to remember. She was 90, he was 100, I believe. But anyway, they were old. But I tell you, I believe the Lord was going to give them that seed. He promised to do it. And I believe that God is going to save his children from their sins, has saved them from their sins, and that someday they will be with him in heaven, not without one loss. All. I shall lose nothing but raise it up. And I believe there's people going to heaven that don't even think about it these days. But you know, whenever it gets in hard times, there comes a time when you're going to have to think about it. And then they're grabbing anything they can. What a blessing it is. Another bit of poetry this morning that got to me. Enough, my gracious Lord. Let faith triumphant cry. My heart can on this promise live. I tell you, it'll do you day in and day out. If you're 5 years old, if you're 100, my heart can on this promise live, can on this promise die. I often think on that, and I think that's dying grace. Whenever God's children can be at that time when time is drawing near, and the Lord blesses them to think on those promises, and that promise particularly. What a blessing that is. And I think the Lord, in his mercy, gives it to those who've never heard the truth preached. You've heard things like, I don't know how, but I think it's going to be all right. Well, I do know how. And it's because grace abounds. Yes, I did get back to it. Then it says, but for us, it was written, if we believe, it'll be imputed to us if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Next verse, which is a different chapter, but it's the next verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It doesn't say that God has peace with us. I believe God has peace with us by the work of Jesus Christ. You know, justification. Brother Sonny said this. He said, you know, you started this from the very beginning. That's the first subject I wanted to learn about, and it's I still want to learn about it. I remember that whenever I was visiting Brother Sonny, I said, what about justification by faith, works? And he said, hold off on that. He did say it. The way they describe it, many describe it, is in the courtrooms. And I hadn't come up with anything better. It tells us right here in Romans somewhere, if I can find it, chapter 5, much more than being now justified by his blood. I believe that's the courtroom of God, God's courtroom, where the blood of Christ, by him we were made righteous. You know, it tells us in Revelation, it calls Satan the great accuser of, and that's kind of the way I like to look at the counter side of justification, the accuser, I guess. If you got a courtroom, you need a prosecuting attorney, an accuser. And it says, the great accuser of brethren who accused them before God night and day. But it says he was cast out. He has no audience with God because God says, not guilty on account of the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. It also tells us in Revelation that the devil is full of wrath, for he knoweth that he hath a short time. So he knows his end. He knows it's not good. He knows he can't accuse the brethren before God anymore. So what is he to do? He's full of wrath. I tell you, he's to go to his God's children and accuse them to them. He might say, you think that you are one of God's children? Well, this is God's law. I tell you, I believe second to the Trinity, or behind the Trinity, the devil knows the scriptures the best. He used the very word of God to try to tempt Jesus. Oh, that's scary, isn't it? Because what do we say? Well, I'm going to go to the word. I'm going to go to the... He knows that, and he'll twist it and turn it and wrest scripture and pull them out of context in every which way. And he knows he hath but a short time, and he can't accuse before the Father. And he knows, as God told him whenever he came, hast thou considered my servant Job? You can touch his flesh, but you cannot touch his life. But he'll do everything. If he can destroy the fellowship that God's children have in this world with God, that's all he can do. So he's going to do all he can. He's going to try to do all he can. Oh, I tell you, now you, one of the verse, first, I don't know, very in the very beginning, I said a statement, devil works the ditches. And Brother Sonny told me how great, profound that was. And I was like, well, thank you. But he does. I mean, that's, what do you do? What if you've heard about these wrecks? They're on this side of the road, but they're over here in this ditch. What happened? Well, I was going off the road here. Tire got off, and then I overcorrected. Thank you, Brother Silas. Overcorrected. And you end up in the other ditch. Maybe devil's saying, you think you're worthy to go to church, to join a church with those good people? Those are God's children. That's one of his devices. I've heard it many a times. I just don't feel worthy to join. And I'd rather hear that than the other thing. But that's overcorrection. I am worthy, and I don't know that they could make it without me. That's the other ditch. The devil just will have you in one of those ditches. Oh, but let your moderation be known, it tells us. We must navigate. It's a challenge. And he will take the joy. David prayed in 51st Psalm, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He didn't lose his eternal salvation, but he lost the joy of it. And that's all Satan can get to, is the joy of it in this world. But here comes faith. God has given us faith. It's in us. And we can come and assemble ourselves together to hear the word of faith preached. And I believe that's, as it says in Romans 1, faith to faith. Apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What happens in the gospel? A lot of things happen, but here's one of them. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." You contrast that with Romans 10. We're in Romans today. When he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant," here's what happens. Let me just say this. Slow down. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." That's all I need to know about these people to know where they will be when time is no more. And that's with God, because they have a zeal of God. And you can only have a zeal of God from God. But Paul's saying, my heart's desire is that they're saved. Oh, as we've heard a lot, you've got to say, saved from what? They being ignorant. They're not informed. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. And what are you going to do when a child of God has that warfare and he knows deep down inside something is not adding up? I know just a little. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest." That's the knowledge we get at the new birth. And it creates a conflict and a war and a gap of righteousness, if you will. And you got to fill a gap. You've got to, and that's, I said a while ago, people will grab on to anything they can whenever they feel that. Well, the easiest thing to grab on to is our own righteousness. And it doesn't do the job. You can feel it. And next week, you got to do it again. Maybe I can get back to that. It just doesn't get the job done. "But they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So, I am all over. So back to Romans 1. Therein, that righteousness that I was just speaking of, they being ignorant of it, in the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So the righteousness, the preached righteousness of God, I tell you, what does that do for us? Whenever we hear that he is righteous, and it is his righteousness that has been imputed to us eternally, and it is imputed to us timely when we believe it. "For he was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification." Oh, I tell you, If we had the story that a man came to save us from our sins by his death. Well, okay. Let's say this. If the apostles had the story that Jesus was sent to save us from their sins by his death, and they watched his death, they might, I would imagine, well, it's pretty evident. It's pretty evident that after that, I mean, they were mourning. They were sad, but 3 days later, where were they? They weren't at his tomb, except for Mary and the other Mary. He was delivered for our offenses. Don't you imagine? I imagine that was a question. That just kind of, there was a question mark still. They watched him die. They were there. They know he did. But 3 days later, and I've been looking at all the different places, accounts of the people when they learned that Jesus indeed had risen. What a difference. I'll tell you, that threw that question mark, and it replaced it with an exclamation point. It says it there, the Lord is risen indeed! Exclamation point. The two on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, we'll pick those two. What a difference does faith make and belief? He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. What difference does, how big a difference does it make in their lives when they saw it? And to keep from reading the whole chapter, 24th chapter, I'll flip to it, but I'll try not to read it all. Jesus. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And I thought of Mary. And this is another place. The Marys. You know who first told them? It was that when they were at the tomb, it was angels. Angels were there and said, he is not here. And they said, but go your way and he will meet you on your way. They had the very Jesus meet them on their way. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. I tell you, they had the witnesses, didn't they? Angels and the Lord himself. Oh, that we had it. Only if the Lord would tell us himself that he was raised from the grave. I tell you, the Lord tells us himself. It's not Jesus Christ in the flesh. Oh, but it is Jesus, the Holy Ghost, when that gospel is preached in power and demonstration. I tell you, it's the very God of heaven being with us. Oh, you've been in those services whenever you just feel elevated up. When the message is preached, maybe the song service takes you up to a special place. I tell you, that's the Lord himself dining with us. We preached that meeting, was it April of this year or last year? Last year at Laverne. That was an awesome day. I got up and talked about the Holy Ghost. And I forgot who, but I think Brother Mark followed me. And all the preachers that day took that subject, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. And it was not manufactured. It was manufactured by the Holy Ghost, I believe. It was one of those special days to me. Except for the last preacher, he didn't get, anyway. But I believe it was Brother Sonny that said, you know, in the Old Testament, now, it's when you start pulling the Godhead apart, you got to be careful. But God the Father was kind of the one who did the communicating. I'll say it that way. God met with Moses. I am that I am. Then we have the period of the Gospels. When Jesus came, and they walked with Christ. And so often I say it and I've heard it said, oh, to live in those days where we could walk with Jesus. We have the same God with us today. God is a spirit, it says. And that spirit comes down. Oh, when heaven comes down, our souls to meet. And glory crowns the mercy seat. The Lord said about his mercy, there will I meet with thee. And I tell you, he meets with his people now. Even on a third Saturday. Or second Saturday. Whatever y'all want to say. The Lord meets with his people. And the gospel is preached. If not today, it's been preached before. I know. And the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Oh, now to those two on the road to Emmaus. Those two that said were sad on their journey. And Jesus showed was there. And they didn't know. Their eyes were beholden that they should not know him. And he says, why are you sad? And I'm going to paraphrase it so I don't read the whole. That is an awesome chapter, and if I start reading, I'll just read. Why are you sad? And they said, are you a stranger in Israel and don't know the things that have happened? And he said, what things? I tell you, when the Lord asks a question, it's not so he can learn something. It's so we can learn something. What things? And they recount all this, and it should have been him that had redeemed Israel. And then it says Jesus expounded unto himself from Moses and the prophets all the things concerning himself. Then, now we'll pick up here. This, what difference, look, what a difference it makes. I'll say it like that. Jesus did the beginning of Moses and all the prophets. He expounded to them all the things. The scriptures, in the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. Sounds like a revealing, doesn't it? And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Oh, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now remember these two. Who just, the Lord, when they didn't know it was the Lord, made as though he were going to go a little further. They said, they constrained him. They didn't know who he was. But they said, it's too late to be going anywhere. It's too late in the evening to go out. But here it says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now it's not too late. It's not too late to go anywhere because we have got some news to tell. And they rose the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. He was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. I tell you, it's not in here, and I'm not questioning the Bible, but I'd like some the biographies of those two after that. Now, they might have fallen off and departed from the faith, but I doubt it. I tell you, they had an account, didn't they? They had a story to tell. How they saw. They walked with the Lord. They saw him crucified. Then they walked with the Lord and they knew it. They didn't know it was him. But then he revealed himself to them. And their message from then on was, the Lord is risen indeed. Therefore, being justified by faith. I tell you, by faith, when we believe, that same blood that eternally justifies us in the throne room of God, justifies us in our mind. And while the devil would say, thou art a sinner, you're not worthy, a wretched sinner, we can say to ourselves, we durst not bring a railing accusation. Don't talk to the devil. Submit yourself to God. Let him do your fighting. But we can say, yes, I'm a sinner. But I'm a sinner saved by grace. Come ahead, brother.